Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Acts, starting to read at chapter 15, verse 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and when she and the members of our household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Dan, for avoiding small distractions that tried to come your way and doing a great reading. Good morning. I promised you that I did not promise an extra long sermon this morning, especially because Leslie told me she's leaving with the children if I'm doing an extra long sermon this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come and look at your word together. And Father, we want to hear from you the things that you're wanting to say and speak into our lives today. So, Lord, we ask that you speak now by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this week in Acts, we catch up with the Apostle Paul as he's about to head out on his second missionary journey. Not that he really knows that at the time. In fact, things are a bit messy and complicated, and Paul's ideas about where he might be heading to are different from where God is about to actually take him. But we do see very clearly, and I want to focus on this today, is for Paul and the others with him, the most important thing to them is to be obedient to God wherever he calls them, to share the good news of Jesus and to strengthen the church. And they do this too, not out of a sense of duty, but out of a deep love for God and for other people, aware that they can only do this work if they're led by the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit. They need to surrender their own plans to God's way of doing things. We've given this sermon the title Breaking New Ground, because as Paul sets off on this journey, they are indeed about to break new ground for the seeds of the gospel to be sown. But if I could subtitle it, the subtitle would be, It's Okay If. As I was reading this passage and praying about what God wants to say to us today through it, I kept coming back to, it's okay if. So let's have a look at that now. As God's people doing God's kingdom work, it's okay if it sometimes looks a bit messy and we don't get it right all the time. I wanted us to read the verses at the end of chapter 15 rather than just starting with chapter 16, because those verses talk about a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. They'd already done one long missionary journey together, and they'd seen God using them amazingly, with people's lives being transformed by the gospel. And churches had been established in many towns. Sometimes, when we think about the early church in Acts, we can feel like they were super holy people, or that because the Spirit was at work so powerfully among them, it was really easy for them, and they never messed things up. Sometimes, we think we could never do those same kind of things that they were doing, because we're not like that. But here, we see the reality of everyday life. They disagreed and had arguments. Paul and Barnabas had such a strong disagreement that they decided to part ways and work separately. What was the issue? The issue was John Mark. Paul didn't trust Mark because he deserted them on an earlier journey. Whereas Barnabas, who was John Mark's cousin, by the way, wanted to give John Mark a second chance. They all wanted to serve God, but they didn't agree on the best way to do that. Personality clashes and strong differences of opinion happened in the early church as well as today. Maybe even amongst us here at St. Nick's, or the Bridge Church, I don't know, we've had a few disagreements about the way we should be doing things in the church. The message from Acts is that God can use us anyway. It would have been better if Paul and Barnabas had been able to sit down, negotiate, talk it through, and pray it through, and come up with a solution for their disagreement and for the way forward. But God, in his wisdom, far from letting the disagreement harm the outreach of the gospel, actually used it to double the missionary force. Instead of one pair of people going out to preach the good news, there were now two going out in different directions to preach the good news. Barnabas and John Mark set off to Cyprus, and Paul and Silas headed back to Cilicia, which was Paul's home territory, to preach the gospel and encourage the believers. And actually, Silas turned out to be an excellent choice of mission partner for Paul. He was highly respected by those in the headquarters of the church in Jerusalem, and he was also a Roman citizen, which was going to stand him in very good stead when they came in with dealings with government authorities. Also, he was prophetic, whereas Paul was mainly a teacher, and so they could bring their different gifts together and work well as a team. They didn't get it all right, but God worked anyway. But let's think for a minute about what they did get right in that situation. John Mark, I was thinking, could have been deeply offended because Paul was not being very nice to him and didn't trust him. And he could have decided to leave the church. If they're going to treat me like this, then why should I stay? Barnabas could have broken off and started his own church, separate from Paul and the church in Jerusalem. But none of them did any of these things. They recognized that even in spite of disagreements about the best way forward, this was God's church and God's work. There was a bigger goal and purpose. There was no room for taking offense and bearing grudges and letting that get in the way of what God was doing. Are you wondering, like I did, whether Paul and John Mark ever managed to sort out their disagreement? Later on in the New Testament, we see several places where Paul refers in his letters warmly to both Barnabas and John Mark. They'd not let their disagreement ruin their relationship and had obviously been reconciled. They recognized that each of them was involved in God's kingdom work. And in his letters, Paul actually asks for Mark to be sent over because he'll be able to help him. So for us too, it's okay if we don't get it right all the time, because God can work in spite of and even sometimes through our failures and our weaknesses. This doesn't mean, though, that we don't have to try, just leave it all to God. We can just carry on going ahead, making loads of mistakes. But, because as we love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength, then we will want to seek God's kingdom as our priority and serve him in any ways that he's calling us to. There are also times when we don't step out into what God's calling us to do or putting on our hearts because we are afraid that we won't get it right, that we won't do it perfectly, that we might mess it up. And we need to know that God is bigger than our mistakes or the mess that we can sometimes make, and he will use us anyway. So the other "it's okay if" that I really saw in this passage was that when we are seeking first God's kingdom, it's okay if we don't always know where we're going. Paul and Silas, their plan as they set off from Syrian Antioch was to revisit the churches in the towns where they'd already been and encourage them and build them up. It sounded like a good plan, but it turned out that God had a different plan. He was ready to break new ground. The gospel was about to be preached in Europe for the first time. Seed would be planted, which was going to grow and flourish and continue to turn the world upside down. Paul and Silas set off out from Antioch. They went to Derbe and Lystra, picked up Timothy to join their team on the way. And then they looked to travel along the Via Sebaste, which led to Colossae, and eventually to Ephesus. If you look on the map, that's the bit going down. They would have had to go down to Ephesus. Verse 6 tells us that they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. This is not actually Asia as we think of Asia, but a province in western Turkey. That meant the route to the southwest was shut. So I put a red X there. That route was shut. So they turned north and went that way until they reached the border of Mysia. They tried to carry on going north and enter Bithynia. But verse 7 tells us that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. The only direction left to them was northwest, and they went to Troas. They'd come a long way by a very roundabout route. As we read this passage, you, like me, may be wondering how this happened. How did the Holy Spirit keep them from preaching the word in Asia or prevent them from going into Bithynia. We're not told any details about it in the passage, but we can think of several possibilities. It may have been an audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice from God, but I do know a few people who have. In fact, a few weeks ago, we were at Listening Cafe, and a man came into the church and shared his story with us, and actually really encouraged us. He was telling us about when he wasn't a Christian, wasn't really that interested in things of God, never been to a church, and he heard an audible voice saying to him, "Go to church." So he went to church, and when he was at church, then he heard the good news. He heard about God's love for him, and he became a Christian, and he's been serving God ever since then. Back to our passage. Another way the Holy Spirit might have prevented them from continuing could have been through circumstances which blocked the way. Maybe Jewish opposition or a legal ban, maybe even an impassable road. God can use circumstances to guide us too. It could have been a strong inward impression or a lack of peace which they all felt. This is often how God guides us, a voice inside, which can even sound like our own thoughts. But as we spend time listening to God, reading his word, and start stepping out on what we hear, then we begin to recognize his voice more and more, even though we might still sometimes make mistakes. Some scholars have suggested that the Holy Spirit's prevention of them going was actually through physical illness on Paul's part. And that's why he went up and linked up with Luke, the doctor, when he got to Troas. We can't know for sure how the Spirit stopped them from going where they were planning to, but this was God's work, and the Spirit was directing them. Their original plans may have been good things to do, but they were not God's will for them at that time. I was thinking they must have been very confused and wondering what on earth God's plans were. So far, they just kept hearing where they weren't supposed to go and not where they were supposed to go. It would have been easy for them to become discouraged. Only when God had prevented them from going the wrong way did he reveal to them the next step in the plan, the right way. And he revealed it through a vision or a dream, a man from Macedonia asking them to come and help. We've got so much that we can learn from their response to this. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. What other way of helping would there be? They wanted to go and preach the gospel to them. There was no messing around here. Here was the guidance they'd been waiting for. They'd felt like they didn't really know where they were heading, what God's plan was. They'd been pushing doors, but they all seemed to be being closed. Now God was guiding them forward. Paul had a vision or a dream. They talked about it together, obviously taking into account all of the different guidance they'd got. And as soon as they were sure of what God was saying, they immediately got ready to go. They didn't form a committee. They didn't discuss it for a few months. When they knew that this is where God was calling them to go, they obeyed and they went over to Macedonia, which is in Greece. And here as well is a map of the area today, so you can see the kind of area that we're talking about. So what do we learn from this for us? Sometimes, in fact, most of the time I find, God's plan unfolds slowly, step by step. It's okay if we don't always know where we're going. Much as we would like to see God spread the map out in front of us or give us a plan so we could know exactly where we're heading, that's not usually God's way. We see time and again in the Bible where God points people to the final destination, but the journey to get there is a very roundabout one and doesn't look anything like the people involved might have expected in the first place. I'm thinking of Joseph and Moses and David, or the Exodus from Egypt, and there are many others. Why is this? I don't know about you, but I have certainly had times when I would have loved for God to just give me like some writing on the wall or something that would help me to know which way am I supposed to be going now. While each situation is different, I thought there might be a couple of reasons why God works in this way. And one is that God isn't simply about delivering plans. He is about people and relationship. We need to walk closely to him and keep listening to hear his plan. If he revealed it all in advance, we'd just try to do it our own way and in our own strength. We would forget that the journey which shapes our characters deepens our reliance on God and strengthens our relationship with God and with other people as well, is actually all part of the plan. I heard an illustration of this years ago. It was Mike Polovacek, actually, who gave this illustration, and I keep coming back to it. There was a mother and a daughter in a crowded room at a party, and the mother called the daughter and spoke quietly to her. The daughter couldn't quite hear, so she moved a bit closer. The mother spoke again, but the daughter still couldn't hear, so she moved closer again. Finally, she came over right next to her mother, and the mother embraced her and gave her a big hug. Sometimes God speaks to us very quietly about his plans because he wants us to move close enough to get a hug from him. Some of us here today may be feeling frustrated because we aren't sure which direction we're going in, or feeling like we failed because we felt like God was calling us to do this thing and somehow it's all come crashing down around us. Maybe circumstances have prevented us from moving in that direction. Maybe COVID and all the changes that that brought has suddenly pulled the rug out from under our feet. Our passage today reminds us that God has a bigger plan, and step by step, he will reveal that to us. As we continue to draw near to him and listen to him, he will open up the right doors ahead of us. Paul and Silas are not the only missionaries to have had their plans changed. Livingston tried to go to China, but God sent him to Africa. Carey planned to go to Polynesia, but God guided him to India. The Apostle Paul, he could have insisted on carrying on with his own plans and heading to Ephesus come what may, but he was willing to surrender his own plans, listen to God, and follow God's ways, both when those were negative, don't go that way, and when they were positive, go to Macedonia. Paul had to surrender his right to understand and to be in control, because he knew that this was God's work and not his work. He had to hold his own plans lightly in order to hold on to God's plans firmly. This surrender led to the continent of Europe being opened up to the gospel, and then the spreading of the good news to many other parts of the world through missionaries sent out from Europe. So we can see from the rest of the passage how God uses Paul and Silas, their obedience to him and their willingness to seek his kingdom first above everything else. God moved in people's hearts. They responded to the gospel. God's good news continued to spread and transform people's lives. And so, it's okay if things sometimes look messy and we don't get everything right, because this is God's work and not ours, and he can still use us. And it's okay if we don't always know where we're going. It's God's plan and not ours, and he often only reveals it a step at a time. But let's be like Paul and Barnabas and Silas and be those people who are listening to God, looking out for where he's at work, and ready to surrender our own plans and be obedient so we can live our lives sharing his love and his good news wherever he calls us to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all the things that you teach us through it. And Lord, we do indeed want to be those people who are ready to listen and obey and seek and let go of the other things that are not your ways for us. Yeah, so Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to hear from you this week and to be stepping forward into the things that you have for us. And thank you that it's okay. It's okay. You know what we're like. You know our weaknesses. You know we make mistakes. But we carry on looking to you. In Jesus' name, amen.